Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. Radical Russ here, hanging out in the Ardea Condominium Towers on the South Waterfront in Portland, Oregon. Hour two, Toker Talk Radio is in effect. Glad to have you here. My latest column up on hightimes.com has been posted. It's my Radical Rant column, and this one is on the 25th anniversary Seattle Hemp Fest, taking place in 2 weeks on the waterfront there in Seattle, Washington. Silver Anniversary Hemp Fest. And folks, if we don't get behind this one and start throwing some money at it, it could be the last Seattle Hemp Fest. And I don't want this to be the last, because I know there's a lot of you out there listening to me who have heard me talk about Seattle Hemp Fest over all these years, how it's the Super Bowl of marijuana activism events. 150,000 tokers over 3 days on a 1.6-mile park with six stages. All day, all night, free, with food vendors and more marijuana accessory-type vendors than you could shake a stick at. They always ask for donations at the park and, you know, give $5 or $10, and it's well worth what you're going to get there at Seattle Hemp Fest, but not everyone donates. It usually ends up being less, averaging less than a buck a person. And last year at Seattle Hemp Fest, we had a deluge. We had a monsoon sort of downpour on Friday, wiped out all of Friday. So they had to pay for all those stages and all that setup and all the stuff that was going on Friday and not take in a cent worth of donations that day. They lost one third of their donations that day. So they're in heap big trouble, and they've got a GoFundMe page out there. If you want to donate to that GoFundMe page, you can. It's at GoFundMe.com/KeepHempFestAlive. Keep HempFest Alive. GoFundMe.com/KeepHempFestAlive. And I don't want to see this event fade away. And for those of you listening who've been putting it off year after year, thinking, well, I'll go next year, or maybe I can make it next year, I want there to be a next year and many more next year, so you get to experience this, because you may know that we need cannabis freedom. You may feel like we need cannabis freedom, but until you've experienced cannabis freedom, it's not quite the same. And coming out to Denver is cool, and going to Seattle or to Portland is cool, but being there at Hemp Fest, where we take over the park and there's literally 150,000 people openly toking, the smell of freedom, that'll recharge your batteries for a long, long time. So donate if you can, GoFundMe.com/KeepHempFestAlive. My piece is up at HighTimes.com. It's the Radical Rant column. And in additional news, since I wrote that column, I wrote that last week. This weekend, I've learned additional bad news for Seattle Hemp Fest. The presenting sponsor, the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, the chain of medical marijuana clinics throughout nine states, is not going to be able to pay for its Prime Hemp Fest sponsorship. It's the main presenting sponsor, the big 10-foot banner on the back of the main stage. They can't pay this year. So that's another $50,000 Hemp Fest has to make up. Please help Hemp Fest if you can. GoFundMe.com/keephempfestalive. I've made my donation. Make your donation if you can. All right, when we come back, we got more highlights from the Indo Expo. Steven from My Urban Greenhouse on a complete automated turnkey in-house closet grow system that even I couldn't mess up.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
Hello?
Hey, are you the one that put the ad on Craigslist? It was in the personal section about, you know, want to have a little good time tonight?
No.
Nothing about, you know, any backdoor action?
No.
A little fifth base? You're not into that?
No, and I suggest you don't fucking call my phone number, you fucking perverted bastard.
Are you sure you're not the one on the Craigslist? You're talking dirty to me. Damn, she hung up.
That was good.
It was funny, though.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
And blue blasting gurgin, fuffin' deer blasting schnurb norbin. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 9 after the hour. Just looking over my article up at High Times. They also interspersed with it pictures from my personal library of every year that I've been at HempFest, except for 2005 and 2004. I had a hard drive crash, and I lost a lot of my pictures from the middle of the 2000s. Maybe someday I'll get them back. Roland Reverend sending me a hard disk retrieval tool. Maybe. Cross my fingers. Maybe I can get them back somehow. But anyway, I've got pictures up there from 2006 through 2015. Some really good ones, too. The Cubit, the yard-long joint that I smoked in 2007. That's in there. Also got a great picture of the flood from last year, so you can understand how badly it rained. Picture of Herb Thrasher's booth there being flooded out. Great picture of a couple that had come as Mr. and Mrs. Towley in 2012. A look from the main stage in 2014. Eddie Lepp, before he was sentenced to prison Got to meet him in 2006 at the Hemp Fest. Great picture of him. We got the Sealy stage, and me and Jody Emery from 2011 leading the 420 celebration. Another quarter pound joint that I'm smoking there. Bradley Steinman with a No on I-502 shirt on. Me and Herb Thrasher and Coral Reefer celebrating. And last year, a picture of me, Keith Strop, and New Jersey Weed Man. It's all up on hightimes.com, and you can find links to the Seattle Hemp Fest GoFundMe page. In this hour, we've got more highlights from last weekend's Indo Expo in Portland. Over 250 vendors there in the cannabis industry. The first day was all business to business. Business owners, people in the industry got in free. And then day two was open to the public and was also a job fair. A lot of people looking for employment in the cannabis industry. And I did find out that almost nobody in the cannabis industry is drug testing. So that's good news. We got a chance to speak with Steven. He's with a company called My Urban Greenhouse. It's his own startup. He's putting together those kind of grow closets that you might use in one of the non-legal states. But even better, it's completely turnkey and completely automated. Even a black thumb like me could probably figure out how to grow cannabis. Welcome back, everyone. Radical Russ here at the Portland Indo Expo. We've got another guest joining us here in the Cannabis Radio Lounge. It's Steven from My Urban Greenhouse. Steven, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate it.
My Urban Greenhouse. Sounds like you're selling items for kind of clandestine indoor cultivation. Tell us about it.
Exactly. So basically what we do is we provide automated turnkey grow systems. So the idea is right out of the box, all you got to do is provide the plants. All of our systems come with a year of nutrients, all the plumbing, electrical, everything you need, and then our own custom line of LED lighting solutions.
This is exactly what I need because I often tell people I know everything there is to know about the cannabis plant except growing it. Like I'm a digital guy,
yeah.
Right? I'm not an analog guy. You put me in dirt and it's just a bad idea.
Nothing
this is for
it.
Me.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the nice things too is when you switch to the hydroponics, you really limit the risk of a lot of the pests and everything like that because a lot of them actually, the eggs and everything are actually found in the soil.
Okay.
So when you step away from the soil-based media, what you're able to do is control the variables that go into the plant a lot better. And then you're also able to, mitigate some of those pest issues that you'd have that often are found coming in from the soil that you're introducing into the system.
So you said this was a turnkey situation. So is it like a tent with vents and lights?
Exactly, yeah. So we do everything from small component all the way up to larger scale systems. So the idea is our smaller ones, which are turnkey home grow systems. They come with everything you need right out of the box. Comes with a tent, our own custom tent, our own custom LED lighting system. Everything costs less than $10 a month to run. And it takes less than 10 minutes a week of maintenance. And really, that's just adding one scoop of the nutrients we give you and topping off the water. Other than that, it's just really hands-free. But we've actually started recently kind of pursuing some larger commercial grows, so we can do modular hydroponic systems for any scale of grower. So we're doing some work with some of the medical growers and some of the new commercial grows to basically be able to do full turnkey solutions for them as well. So that goes all the way from the full lighting systems all the way to our turnkey, whether it's a ebb and flow style flood and drain type system or an undercurrent type system. So it really just depends on what you want to do.
All right, so if one of our listeners is out there and they're thinking, all right, well, I got, an extra room, bedroom, or a closet. What's the footprint on your small size?
So the smallest one we have is a 2x2x4 foot high tent, and that's our home grow Sea of Green. So it's basically a truncated vegetative growth, so you don't have to grow in veg as long, and so it's a quicker turn. So the idea is the whole system could fit in basically any regular, a closet space.
Okay.
In any house. And then the idea with that one, again, is that you'd only do about anywhere from 2, maybe 4 weeks, depending on the size of the clone that you're introducing into the system, vegetative, and then you switch to bloom. So you're talking about, as low as a 2.5 to 3 month turn on your grow systems. Mm. And we actually had one of our customers that bought one of our first systems, the Sea of Greens, come in, and I think they pulled just over 8 ounces just off of a little 2x2x4 foot footprint, and for personal consumption, it's more than most people are going to need for any, especially when you do it every 2.5 months.
And under Oregon law, all you're allowed to have
is 4 plants. Exactly. And so the nice thing is we also have a 2x4 foot variety is our other standard home grow offering. And it's a 2-plant system, so you can grow larger, bushier plants. But then we also have ones that can go up to like any size from a 4x4 footprint. With 4 plants, to larger medical grows that can do 6 plants.
Okay.
It just really depends on the application. We can customize this for about any type of situation.
So you mentioned that these are powered through LED lighting and it's a hydroponic system. So what is the load on my electrical bill and my water bill by installing, say, the small system?
So the small system you're going to be running, it's going to basically be cost you about $6 a month.
Okay.
And that's being pretty generous on the kilowatt hour cost that you're talking about. So here in Oregon, it's probably even less than that.
Right.
And it's really dependent, obviously, on the size of the light you go with. But, yeah, you're going to be under $10 per month, and like I say, it's less than 10 minutes a week you've actually, like, effort that you have to put into it. So, I mean, like I say, every week I've got two of the big ones. I'm a medical grower, clarify that to start
yeah.
with. But I got two of our big systems and then one of our smaller Sia Green styles, and I literally spend less than 10 minutes a week on it. I walk around with our hose, top it off, add a scoop of our nutrients, and shut her up.
Wow.
And it just takes care of itself. It's, like, all pre-programmed, all automated right out of the box. So it's real easy, real simple.
So what is the entry price for someone getting into one of these things? Because I know people think, whatever you say, got to think long-term, folks, as far as, you know, how this is going to work for you.
So, for instance, our Sia Green style system would be the most cost-effective one that we currently have. And that one starts at $695.
Oh, wow.
And that one you can upgrade to it comes with a 300-watt, which is a 400-watt equivalent
okay.
to, like, an HID lighting system. That one comes with that, like, that's, like I say, that default comes with a 300-watt, but you can upgrade to a 450-watt, which is actually a 600-watt equivalent, and that one just basically runs you $845.
So your packages are customizable to some extent.
Exactly. So you can basically pick the light. And one of the beauty of the LEDs that we have is we have a custom LED lighting system that we basically designed the spectrum to maximize plant photosynthesis. So basically we found some studies that showed where plants maximize, particularly cannabis, where it maximized photosynthesis, basically resulting in higher yields and better quality THC, terpene development, everything like that. So the idea is, with LEDs, they run so cool because part of what we did is we actually increased the size of the heat sink that goes into those lights.
Okay.
And so there's almost no heating coefficient coming off of them. So you're not having to worry about burning the plants or overheating them like you would with a standard metal halide or HPS. So the beauty of them is, even in a small tent, like a 2x4 foot footprint, you know, it's only 7 foot tall, you can still put a 1200 watt light in there, which is a 1400 watt equivalent over two plants, and they're just going to go gangbusters on it. And so the beauty of it is you don't have that heating issue, so the plants can actually get maximum absorption of all the light you can basically throw at them, whereas with an HPS or metal halide, you're really limited by the size of the area and how fast you can cool it and everything like that, because otherwise you're going to be just cooking those plants off.
Right.
You know, if you took a 2x4 tent and tried to put a HPS or metal halide in there, you know, you couldn't go much bigger than a 300, 400 watt without, you know, getting it too hot in there. You can go up to a 1200 watt in our system. So, I mean,
wow.
Way better yields, way better, you know, like I say, terpene development, everything about the plants way, way, way more optimized.
Wow, it's My Urban Greenhouse. Steven is here telling us all about it, and it sounds like a great deal to me, especially the idea that you could start at the small end and work your way bigger if you
exactly.
really liked the way it was working.
Exactly. So a lot of our customers actually do that. We got one that we've just done, and we do full installation too if people want that.
Oh, really?
So we'll actually come out to your
place.
How about
warranties and guarantees?
Yeah, so we got a 1 year on the system and then 3 year on the lights.
Okay.
And that's completely like any type of warranty on the lights. So, I mean, anything that happens with it, you don't have to go through a manufacturer. It comes straight to us. Like I say, they're exclusive lights to us, and you just bring it right back in, ship it to us or whatever it is, and we'll send you out a new one if it's within a 3 year period. They have a 100,000 hour run life expectancy, so that ends up equating to anywhere from between 5 and 7 years, depending on the interval of the lighting that you're doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've had one, to give you an idea, going for over 5.5 years now, and
wow.
had no issues, and still producing ounces and ounces whenever I want. So it's really just hands free, really easy, and
man.
Yeah. But like I say, we get customers all the time that'll come in, and you know, they're like, okay, I want to try to make sure I like it, and then, you know, we'll go out and either set it up or they'll go set them up. And we've yet to have a single return, single faulty light, anything of that nature. Everyone that's done it has been successful growers so far.
That's great. Steven with My Urban Greenhouse. Tell folks how they can get one of these online or to call you or however.
Yeah, so you can just go to www.myurbangreenhouse.com. Or if you're interested, we're actually out in Hillsboro. We've got a showroom out there with all of our lights on display, all of our grow systems up and running, and we're there every day. You can come out and pick out a system out, come talk growing. We're happy to discuss with anybody. I mean, that's part of what we're passionate about, is enabling more people to be successful growers.
Oh, and people like me who have failed in the past,
yep,
especially.
Exactly. So, yeah, just come out and check us out in our showroom. We're out in Hillsboro. Right off of Cornelius Pass. Look us up online.
All right. MyUrbanGreenhouse.com. Steven, thanks for being here at the Indo Expo and stopping by the desk.
Thank you very much, Rich.
All right.
Back to the show.
Well, that's easy for you to say. Happy 420 from the Pacific time zone. I hope you'll celebrate with me. I hope you can celebrate with me. But we're doing everything we can to make it legal all across this country and around the world so that you can just walk to your local pot shop and get yourself some herb. Until then, we'll smoke them and hope you can too.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Oh, Lady Marijuana Llama, tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Himping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know? Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Your grapefruits are no match for my Trump Towers.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour. Hope you had a good smoke session. Take a brief look back at politics today because, wow, man, what a difference a week makes. Here I was getting all stressed out about how close the presidential race would be. And I forgot one important thing, and that's that Donald Trump never shuts up. Oh, man, it's like Bill Maher said, where do you start on what he went through this recent week? Continuing a feud with the Gold Star parents, parents of a slain soldier, kicking a baby out of his rally. And now the latest one. Oh, yeah. And suggesting that the election will be rigged. The election is rigged. It's rigged. It's all rigged. And you know what? Let me address that real quick, because I'm hearing that from the Democratic side, too, from some of the Bernie supporters. It was rigged. This is a making a mountain out of a molehill thing. Yes, indeed. The DNC was favoring Bernie Sanders. Absolutely. And there are some strange occurrences going on with respect to voter registrations. No doubt about that. However, that does not raise to the level of rigging an election to the tune of 3 million more votes. You know, Hillary Clinton won states like Florida by like 500,000 votes, right? And to rig an election to that scale in that many different places, especially when a lot of these places being accused of rigging are Republican-run places that would have no way of the DNC controlling them. It's just ludicrous. There's a recent series of tweets from one of the poll elections officials in Philadelphia who's been going off on the Republicans lately, who've been ranting about this with, you know, Trump saying the election would be rigged. And one of their points was there are 57 precincts in Philadelphia that recorded zero votes for Mitt Romney. Yeah, these were all precincts in heavily African-American poor neighborhoods. What? They didn't vote for the rich white guy. Nobody voted for Romney? Really? What a surprise. Right? It's not a surprise, people. There's a highly, highly selective cherry picking going on that side. No, the election will not be rigged. Now, to me, I look at it like this. The election can be nudged, right? We saw that in Bush v. Gore, right? The election can be nudged. There can be all sorts of shenanigans that can affect one state or one precinct or two or three, right? But swinging an election any more than like 0.2 or 0.5% or would be just a mammoth undertaking and impossible to conceal. So let's remove that. This is not to say I don't want more independent verification and monitoring of our elections and more uncovering of corruption and fraud and wanting more transparency. Of course I want those things. But let's not go so far as to say that our elections are rigged without some really compelling evidence, okay? All right, let's get back to the Indo Expo, back to some marijuana business. We spoke with Kyle from FlowHub, which is a software platform for human resources and inventory management for dispensaries, kind of a competitor to MJ Freeway and BioTrack THC. Check it out. Welcome back, everyone. We are live at the Portland Indo Expo 2016. I'm Radical Russ with CannabisRadio.com, and joining me here we have Kyle. He is the CEO of FlowHub. Welcome, Kyle.
Hey, thanks for having me.
FlowHub, you know, I can imagine a lot of things that could be. Tell us what FlowHub actually is.
Yeah, so, you know, FlowHub really stems from an experience I had as a compliance manager out in Colorado. So when we first legalized out there was this whole state regulation, all these state regs that came into place. And it was through a system called Metric, a state system. And while I was this compliance manager, I really realized that the existing seed-to-sale platforms out there just didn't work for the new regs. And I realized that we could automate a lot of stuff. And okay. So that's really where this was born. So about 2 years ago, we started FlowHub. And now we have about 25 employees. We've got a point-of-sale system that dispensaries in Colorado are using, some out here in Oregon as well. And we're making our way up to Alaska right now. And yeah, we have a grow management app as well coming out later this year for the Oregon market. So we're just excited to be here promoting this stuff.
You know, I know when I go to a dispensary or a shop that there's always, especially it's my first time there because I travel a lot. And it's my first time there, and I got to check in, and some guy takes my ID, and I stand there for a while, he types, and then I got a name that always gets misspelled,
right,
so I got to
right.
fix that part. So tell us how FlowHub gets me around that. How does that make it better for me, the consumer?
Surely. So we make the check-in process super smooth and quick for the consumer. We developed this thing called the NUG. It's a handheld scanning device.
The NUG,
right? Isn't that cool? And it's a handheld scanning device that you can carry around with you, and it's powered over LTE. So you can actually use it as a phone as well, which is kind of cool. So what it does is it allows you to be remote. So you can walk around your dispensary freely without worrying about Wi-Fi. Okay. You can actually scan people's IDs with this device, and it checks people in. So if you're a med patient, you know that's where the bottleneck really is. You got to scan all these documents and stuff. You can actually take pictures and securely upload those to our server then just all through the NUG. So it takes, you know, that 10 to 15 minute process, that check-in process is, you know, now takes 60 to 90 seconds. It's so fast. So people are loving it.
So this, we're talking about scanning the QR code that on people's...
Yeah, it's called a complex, it's like a complex barcode, essentially, that holds a lot of information. It has your name, you know, your address in there, your birthday, and we can check all that stuff. So we can see, hey, is this person 21? Are they 21? Oh, they are. Okay, cool. We'll let them in for the rec side. Are they medical? Oh, yeah, okay. We can check them as a med patient and then, you know, scan their documents. It's very simple.
The driver's license barcode has whether or not they're a patient. That's coming from.
No, I'm
some
sorry.
Other
sorry, place. You know. Okay. So yeah. So let me clarify.
Wait a minute,
no.
What?
Could you imagine if there was that? No. We respect privacy greatly. We can't see that stuff. But I guess I'll walk you through a scenario. You walk in the dispensary. Someone at the front will scan the back of your ID, And then they can choose at that point, if it's a med and a rec dispensary, they can choose if you're a med patient or not. So they can say, oh, you're a med patient. You're coming in to join us to make us your primary, you know, you could scan in their med documents with the NUG.
Oh, okay.
So that's how it works. And if you're rec, you just select rec and it goes through that,
gotcha,
that process. We have a built-in loyalty system, so you could also add them to loyalty there if they want to join a loyalty program. You know, so it's all really just fluid. That's the whole idea.
Is the NUG a system where you're going to buy one of those for your dispensary and whoever's the cashier on duty, bud tender on duty, is going to use it? Or do you buy multiple ones, one for each bud tender?
You know, so it's cool. It's actually a platform. So we have another app called Audit on this that allows you to go back and actually scan in your inventory and check inventory levels and reconcile inventory. So it's
like
really,
these guys I see walking around the Walmart and they're...
It's exactly right. Yeah. No, it's exactly right. I mean, you see this in Target, Walmart, a lot of these large, big box retailers are going to use these because there's just so much inventory to track.
Sure.
And it's really the same thing here. So, no, we find that people will have, you know, two or three sometimes. Sometimes you just need one. It depends on the scale of your dispensary.
Okay.
And we're really flexible. You don't buy these outright. So there's just a monthly fee for these.
Oh,
and so
okay.
You can scale up and down month to month depending on if it, you know, it gets busy around 420 for you. Maybe you want a couple more. You can do that.
That's fantastic.
We make it simple.
This is FlowHub, which is a POS system plus this really cool integrated NUG with scanning to make everything a lot simpler. And, you know, I imagine as a business owner also, you're dealing with, you know, continuity of data where, you know, bud tenders might not be the, let's say, top clerical data entry people.
Oh, sure. Sure. You know? We see that. You know, it's, you know, what we did to fix that, actually, what we did to remedy this big issue were, especially if you have a few stores, you know, you open up a few collectives around the state, you know, you really want, as a business owner, you want to be able to go in and analyze all your data and go, hey, you know, what are the trends here for some of these products that I have?
Yeah.
The big problem before FlowHub was, you know, every dispensary kind of acts as its own independent dispensary, and so the product names are sometimes spelled differently. You know, you intake inventory at one place, Wana Sour Gummies is spelled, you know, with two N's. Over here, it's spelled with one N.
Granddaddy Perp.
Right.
Different D's.
No, yeah. Exactly. No, it's exactly right. You know, is it all like one word? Is it split apart? And what's really cool about our platform is it allows you to actually build out a products catalog. So you build out your catalog for your entire supply chain.
Okay.
And then when you're accepting inventory in, that data is standardized because you're pulling from that singular catalog. So
okay.
It makes it really easy to manage a large supply chain, basically.
I know in my line of work with radio, we have a feature that allows us to say that John Cougar, John Mellencamp, and John Cougar Mellencamp are all the same dude.
Right.
Kind of the same idea here.
It's
we're
exactly
saying that
right.
The different way it's spelled, it could also be the same strain.
Right, right. It's exactly right. So we group everything together under one thing. So it's so easy as a business owner to go back and go, oh, here's what's trending. Oh, here's what's going on in my dispensary. It just adds visibility over your whole supply chain, really.
So you built this up coming through Denver and the MED and their you know, Bible-thick regulation book.
Yeah, we only have a couple out there.
Just a couple. As you expand and you're moving to other states and looking forward to the states that are voting here in 2016, how does the platform adapt for the different states as you build this out?
Sure. You know, it's interesting. We have some really cool proprietary technology on the back end that allows us to build out regs very quickly. So we can move into new markets very rapidly. We've defined what's needed in a highly regulated environment. And we've defined those data points.
Okay.
And so we are able to basically move into new markets fairly rapidly because of those definitions we already have in place. I think, you know, one of the smartest things we did was we started in Denver, a highly regulated market that's now a few years old. So we've had a lot of experience of playing around and messing up all the time, right? And figuring out what we're doing wrong and what we could do better. And so coming into markets like Oregon, it's much easier for us.
Sure.
You know, we're not reinventing the wheel over here. We've done this before. So it was pretty simple for us to come and transition into this new market. Same with Alaska. It's simpler for us to move up there as they're getting their regs together and things are coming online. So, and as these guys, you know, the state is, right? They change stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah.
We're able to rapidly adjust that. And so just our whole platform is really, it's built so specifically for this industry. And I think that's our edge, really. You know, I mean, this is custom built from the ground up by people who really care about the future of legalization. And I've also had tons of experience in a compliance-based market. You know, you can't build this in California and expect to have the knowledge that we have in Colorado. You know,
right.
It's completely different. You know, we're really, I tell a lot of people this, we're not the cannabis industry anymore. You know, we're a compliance industry. And if you're lucky, you get to sell cannabis. You've got to stay compliant first, right?
Right.
If you're not compliant, you're going to get fined and shut down. It happens.
I've seen it many times. Kyle with FlowHub, this sounds very interesting. Tell folks how people can
Tell them how they can learn more about this online.
Sure. Our website's flowhub.co. It's not .com. I'm still working on that. We'll get that hopefully one of these days. But flowhub.co is our website. You can also find us on Twitter, flowhubco. Facebook's flowhubco. We're on MassRoots. I'm sure you know MassRoots. We're flowhub there. And you can find us on Instagram as well. We post cool bud porn shots and stuff. I mean, right from our customers, you know?
Well, folks, check it out. It's FlowHub, your integrated point of sale system, complete with the handheld nug. It's the only system that gives you a nug.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's the only system that gives you a nug that you can bring with you on an airplane around the country.
The only one, yeah. Thanks so much for joining us, Kyle. Have yourself a great show.
Thank you so much for having me on. We'll see you later.
That's a pleasure. All right, stay tuned. We'll have more from Indo Expo after this. Oh, yeah, this FlowHub software. I got totally nerdy on this stuff. After we finished that interview, I got to go back to the booth where they had a full setup there. And he showed me. He used this thing, the Nug. It looked like a kind of a thick cell phone. And turned over my driver's license, and there's that funny-looking barcode. And he just bleeps it. Bam! There's all my information, my address and everything. And boom! It automatically wirelessly transmitted to the software, got me signed in to go into the dispensary, automatically put me in line in the right spot. Oh man, it's so cool. Flowhub.co, check them out.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show.
Tennessee's Congressman Steve Cohen.
Well, you know, if marijuana is a gateway drug, then kissing is a fake gateway activity to sexual addiction.
U.S. Representative Jared Polis.
Yes, we really have a growing group of representatives that support decriminalization.
It's the Russ Belville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 39 after the hour here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. I'm pretty excited about the Gallup poll thing that says 13% of the U.S. population smokes weed, because that's more in line with my experience. Really, 1 out of 8 people smoke weed is what this tells us. Less in the South, more in the West, but about 1 out of 8 U.S. adults. And so the newspapers and the media are breathlessly wondering, oh, will this mean cannabis smoking will be normalized? It's like, no. What this means is cannabis smoking will finally be recognized. It's always been normal, both with an A and without an A.
It's always been normal to be smoking pot. It's natural. It's part of our heritage. It's part of our evolution, people. Prohibition of pot smoking is a relatively new and short phenomenon in the historical timeline. 80 years and counting. But that's not much. We're a country that's 240 years old, so it had been legal for two-thirds of our country's history, and then another couple of centuries of colonial rule before that. So, yeah, this is we are on the right side of history, and it feels good to see the last 10 polls. Last 10 polls have shown nationwide support for marijuana legalization. This Gallup survey says 43% of the people have admitted to trying marijuana, but if you adjust that for under the age of 50 years old, it's over half have tried cannabis. So like I say, you meet someone 50 or younger, you know, flip a coin, heads they've smoked pot, tails they know somebody who has. And to know that there are 33 million pot smokers and rising, but there are 40 million cigarette smokers and falling. And interesting how the media never makes that correlation. I'm not saying one necessarily causes the other, but I think a case could be made that it does to some extent. I know some cigarette smokers who've kicked that habit, and weed, access to weed helped them a lot. They told me of how they tried to quit when they lived in a prohibition state and it just wasn't possible, but they moved out to Oregon. They got regular access to weed. Whenever they're having a Nicky fit, they could just smoke a couple puffs off a joint or a vapor pen, and things were much better. We're going to see more and more pot smokers. We're going to get to the point where more adults smoke pot than smoke tobacco. I think that's a beautiful thing. That's something to be celebrated. And we're going to have to overcome this public health-oriented notion that we need to stop people or try to dissuade people from choosing this. I'm not saying we necessarily, you know, require people to smoke pot, or even that the government necessarily should promote it, but I don't think there's anything wrong with us promoting it, with us advertising it. You know, with the, they always make the cigarette comparison. You know, Big Tobacco lied about their products and how harmful they were. So therefore, marijuana shouldn't be able to tell people how great it is. This is, I can't wait for this attitude to change. I can't wait for it to change from being the where the default is we have to have warnings. Oh, well, it could cause pregnant women to have breastfeeding. Here in Oregon, they have to hand you this piece of paper, right, that says that it's got the warning on it. You know, don't let your kids get into the edibles. It's not for children. And pregnant women, breastfeeding, and, you know, don't drive, right? But they don't print this all the packages. They hand it to you as a little quarter sheet, right? A little piece of paper. And so every pot shop I've been to in Portland so far just recycles these things, right? Like the cashier, the bud tender, I should say, will put the little slip in with your purchase in the bag. But right there at the desk is a little box, just the right size for those slips. Big old sign on it. You know, sometimes it's handwritten. Recycle. And people just reach in and they take that little warning out and they put it right there in the little box before they leave. So, I don't know. Is this helping? Is it doing any good? I want to get away from where the default is we have to warn them about the bad things that could happen about pot or marijuana use or cannabis consumption, however you want to phrase it, and get to a point where we can tell them, but here's the benefits, right? See, I see these pharmaceutical ads all the time on TV, right? Where they say, are you having trouble with restless legs, depression, anxiety, high blood pressure, and diabetes? I don't know, whatever. Pick your poison, whatever it might be. Are you having trouble with X? Well, here's this new drug. Ask your doctor about Jabloclaw or Jablobi or Xblu or, you know, all these messed up names that look like someone threw a Scrabble tile set down on a, oh, look, there's 30 points. Come up with a name that's got 30 points in Scrabble, and that's what we'll call the drug. I see these commercials, ad after ad after ad, telling me the benefits that you'll get from using this drug, how it will treat this or that. Ask your doctor, do you have this? Ask your doctor about this drug. And then those same ads, they have to have that part where it goes into fast motion and the visuals get a little distracting, but they say, and may cause common side effects like blah, 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 you know, restless heart and fatal episodes and anal leakage and whatever else it might be. They got a whole list of them, right? Okay, I'll accept that for weed. Is that the standard now? Is that the standard for how we advertise mind-altering and physically-altering substances? Fine. Let us live to that standard. We'll be glad to do it. We'll make the ad. Cannabis may lead to less head, neck, and lung cancer incidents. Cannabis may lead to a lower body mass index and better regulation of insulin for those who may be pre-diabetic. Cannabis may stave off and alleviate the effects of traumatic brain injury, concussion, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, and Huntington's disease. Cannabis is not known to cause lung cancer and may actually act as a protectant. Cannabis may be used as an analgesic and an anti-emetic. Cannabis, however, comes with risks of small side effects, most commonly dry mouth, red eyes, heart rate increase, some level of cough, and a greater appreciation of noodly guitar solos. Ask your doctor if cannabis is right for you. I mean, we'll gladly subscribe to that level of advertising honesty. Well, that will be fine. I'm just waiting for that day. The more and more we learn about this, of course more people are going to use it. Of course more people are going to use cannabis when they learn the truth about it. I did. Hell, I was a drinker, man. I was a rock and roll musician, party, animal lifestyle. I could drink more than you, faster than you, longer than you. And then I started smoking pot. And the more I smoked it, it was like, well, you know what? This is pretty damn pleasant. And I actually enjoy it more. And I don't make stupid decisions. And I don't wake up the next day with a mouth that feels like someone left a sock in it and a head that's pounding from a headache and dragging ass all day at work. This is actually better for me. I can get work done. I can continue doing my highly intellectual computer coding or be able to speak in front of large corporate audiences better with this than the alcohol. And not that I stopped drinking. I still drink, but my drinking became what people call just like normal drinking. Like if I'm at a bar, I might have a cider or two with friends, but I don't really go to bars. I might have a margarita with a Mexican dinner. That's about it, you know, but cannabis every single day. We got another discussion from the Portland Indo Expo that kind of goes on these lines. I got to speak with Dr. James from the Can Care Company, and they make all sorts of medicinal products, and he had more to talk about medical cannabis. So let's go back to that Indo Expo from this weekend. This is Dr. James.
Welcome back, everyone. Radical Russ here live at the 2016 Portland Indo Expo. It's day two, and joining me here in the Cannabis Radio Lounge, we've got Dr. James from Can Care Company. Hi, Dr. James.
Hey, happy Sunday afternoon.
Happy Stony Sunday to you, too.
Yeah, I hope everybody's awake and with it now.
Well, as best as can be expected after one day of an expo.
Well, you know, look at the activity here. I think everybody that's out of bed is pretty active.
Looking good. We're having a job fair out here. People are looking for work, right? And learning a lot about the industry here in Oregon and around the country.
Yeah, we've been very busy the last day or so. We provide care products for growing cannabis legally.
Okay.
And so we've been getting a really good reception because we're kind of at the forefront of this new legalized industry, and we're trying to provide perfectly legal products for the growers. Particularly in the states of Oregon and Washington, where the regulators, you know, they're monitoring the crops.
Yeah.
And they actually have to approve the final harvest. and you either pass or fail.
Yes, sir.
So you could have grown a crop the entire year in the spring and summer, and then you submit it for testing, and the state inspector comes by, and if you flunk, you're done.
Yeah.
So hopefully you can do all next year with no money.
No kidding.
But we're here to help to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, so tell us what products are available through CanCare Company.
CanCare makes products for your common pests of cannabis growing, which here in Oregon and Washington are on the fungal side, is powdery mildew.
Okay.
So that looks like a sugar coating that ends up on the plant and can grow almost overnight, over a weekend for sure. So if you're a grower and you go on a little mini vacation or your workers aren't working, you can go leave it on Thursday, come back on a Monday, and it looks like frosted flakes all over the place.
We don't want that.
So that's on the fungus side. So on the critter side, what afflicts cannabis the most are mites, which are actually spiders. So they're not insects. And they're actually a little more robust than insects, so they take a little bit more to control. And so we provide a couple of products. What we strongly believe in is good preventative maintenance in what the industry is called integrated pest management.
Okay.
So taking care of it. It's not, we don't provide the silver bullet that you apply once and the whole thing is fixed for the whole thing. Because those are very harsh chemicals, a lot of which actually go inside the plant.
Right.
And
so yours is a more natural, healthy way to
right,
deal
ours,
with these
ours
situations?
Right, ours are all suitable for organic farming practices.
Okay.
Some of them are going to actually, well, one of them already is, approved by the Organic Materials Review Institute, or OMRI. Okay? So they've been designed for that practice. And what we try to avoid are any kind of chemicals that will leave a residual. And in particular, ours are approved so that it doesn't flunk the state tests on illegal pesticides.
Well, that's good.
So our focus in the future will be to provide legal products for farmer growers, and that won't get them into trouble, because, you know, when the state picks up your product for final audit, you either pass or fail.
Right.
And that would be kind of a harsh thing at the end of the grow. You spent all this effort, and you get no money,
yeah.
And you've invested all of this.
Well, where are you based, and how did you get into doing this business?
Well, we are based in Hillsboro, so really close here. The reason we put ourselves here is we're kind of the epicenter in the Washington, Oregon area.
Yeah.
We could have had a choice to base ourselves in Denver, which is actually ahead of the curve, but I couldn't get used to the thin air up there. So we chose Oregon, Portland near the ocean, a little better. And but lots of activity here, and with the same kind of maturity or immaturity that Colorado has. We're really at the forefront of these things going now. And then, so how did we get into it? To be honest with you, I've got like 30 plus years in the pesticide industry.
Okay.
And so I decided to start my own company. I've worked for all the big guys, the Monsantos, the Bayers, the Syngentas of the world, and so I know how to make these pesticide products. And I just decided that I was going to do it myself. So we were doing a different angle when one of my team was contacted by a state official in Colorado who said, you know, we have a thing where we legalize products, legalize marijuana recreationally in the state, but we have no approved pesticides to help grow the crops. And so they said, would you come over, we'll show you how it's done in terms of growing it, and we'll introduce you to some of the growers. And so this is no more than 5 or 6 months ago.
Wow.
And so what happened was, you know, here's the challenge. You've got to develop a product that people are going to not just smoke, but they're going to ingest it in all kinds of ways.
Sure.
So you've got dermal patches, you've got eye drops, you've got suppositories, you've got everything, every manner of introduction into the human body that no other agricultural product has. So that was a big challenge. But with my experience, I kind of cut through it and said, well, you know, there's only a few ingredients that you could utilize that will actually have any chance of being something acceptable in this industry.
Wow.
So in rapid fashion, we put through these applications, not through the federal government, by state. And so Colorado was the first and approved our products. And we've been selling product there. And so and as things march along, Oregon, Washington, next. In fact, actually, even before then, we got product approved in Alaska. And that's a fascinating market, too.
Yeah.
So Alaska and Colorado are very similar in that most of the grow are all indoor types.
Right. Have to in Alaska.
Yeah, Alaska. Colorado, it's just been, a lot of it is up and down the eastern side of the Rockies, from Denver down to Pueblo, Colorado.
Right.
And so so a little different. But Oregon, Washington, very diverse. Lots of outdoor growing, lots of indoor growing, a lot of diversity in the pests they have here. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad that you're doing this because, you know, it's been such a concern for so many people about pesticides and having integrated pest management that's healthier for people
right.
and healthier for the plants.
Yeah, and so therefore what goes into our products isn't anything that I wouldn't mind smoking or ingesting. So, and actually, you think about it, that's the biggest challenge of any agricultural product. There's no agricultural product that has been designed for this level of human interaction.
Right, right. It's either you're eating it or you're using it.
Oh, you're doing
way.
Even more than that.
Yeah, amazing. Dr. James with Can Care Company. If people want to get more information on your products, is there an online source they can go to?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the 3Ws.can-care.com. So www.cancare with a dash in the middle. C-A-N-N, as in cannabis. C-A-N-N-care.com.
Right on. Thanks, Dr. James, for
stopping
by.
Okay, my pleasure. Good luck to everybody. Happy growing.
Happy growing to you. We'll be back with more from the 2016 Portland Indo Expo right after this.
Okay. Great talking with Dr. James there from Can Care Company, can-care.com. We'll have more of the highlights from the Portland Indo Expo coming up on the rest of this week. If you heard one that you liked and you want to pass it along, share it with others, you can find it on my SoundCloud page. The set list is at the very top, the Portland Indo Expo. And the tracks are listed in the order in which I interviewed each person. And folks, that's all the time we've got for today's show. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community, including our bi-monthly talk with hemp expert Doug Fine in our Hemp Day Hump Day update. We'll have more of those interviews from the Indo Expo, and I'm sure there'll be something for me to rant about. Make sure you check out CannabisRadio.com and some of the other great shows that we have available on the network. There's something for everyone. And more great shows coming. I can't wait to tell you who else is going to be on this network. I got to keep it secret for now, but I'm excited. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.